It's electric. I think. It's the news. According to me. Well. Good morning. I've got all the electrical stuff is on this morning. It is Friday, August 23rd, 8:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2024. I am in my home studio this morning. I thought I might get over to my the worldwide headquarters. Next week there will be some podcasts from the worldwide headquarters. I'm pretty sure there will be. I am officially off. I've always been off, I guess, a little bit. But I'm actually not working now for a couple of weeks. I have a legitimate vacation for a couple of weeks. I've tried to figure out how I'm going to. I'm not sure when I'm going to go back. If there's a couple of days I might move around and extend my vacation. I do have a sailboat trip I'm going to be taking later next week, which will put me out of being able to do any recordings for a few days. But I think next week, I know Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, most likely there will be a show those 3 days, unless I happen to go camping during that time, during which I never know if I'm ever going to have internet. Sometimes I don't. Places I go, that's why I go there, because it's nobody can get a hold of me. So that's we'll see how it goes. But this next week might be kind of iffy with regard to shows. Then the following week, later in the week, I know Wednesday, Thursday, at least Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, probably going to be shows. We'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, I have a lot of things going on. The DNC thing, clown show, is finally over, which is good. Of course, one of the things that they were talking about during the show was how electric everything was. You know, they always have all these, they have these buzzwords. These people are shameless. I don't know where to begin with these people. Michelle Obama, I didn't get to have a show yesterday morning. Michelle Obama was, I was actually in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday morning, which I had not planned on at all. I didn't see that one coming at all. I take it back. I was actually in Fayetteville. Sorry, I was in Tulsa the night before. I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, Bentonville, whatever you call it, that area. I did not expect to be there. The issue, however, with Michelle Obama's speech, these are people who are worth, they have left office and now they are worth $70 million. They own at least 4 multi-million dollar properties that I'm aware of. They probably own more than that, or part of, you know, investments in other things, I'm sure. I know how that stuff goes. But their net worth is valued at about $70 million. Speaking of which, speaking of net worth and taxes, one of Kamala's things that she wants to do is put a tax on unrealized gains. In other words, if you have $100,000 invested in the stock market, and the stock market goes up, and now you're worth $120,000, she wants to tax the $20,000. Now, if it loses, you don't get to deduct that off of your income. You only have to pay taxes when it increases. And then when you take the money out, oh, yes. Oh, by the way, yeah, that's income too. So now you have to pay taxes on that again. This will destroy investments in our country, in our nation. It will literally rend the whole idea of investing. The 401k will be worthless at this point. Now, they also are going to assess your property value every year. And based on that assessment, you will have to pay income tax on the gains that your house makes. So not only are you paying property tax, which pretty much takes a lot of your equity away, you now have to pay taxes on that. So if you bought a house for $90,000 and, you know, 20 years from now, it's worth $300,000, you will continue every year to pay taxes on the increase, and then every year that it goes up. One thing it might actually do is it might actually reduce the rate of inflation on homes, because nobody's going to want a home at that point. Now, I'm sure BlackRock, some of these big investment companies and foreign companies that that are buying land, I'm sure that somehow they're going to have some kind of an exemption, because, you know, they've got lobbyists. So they're going to talk to these folks, and they're going to get their exemptions from that kind of thing. But the little guys, the middle class, especially the upper, they really hate the upper middle class. They really hate the upper middle class. And it is the upper middle class that basically pays the bills in this nation. Lower middle class pays very little in taxes. The borderline, where they want you is borderline poverty level. That's where they want you. They feel like that's where people are happy. They have just enough. But they're just keeping their head above water, so it keeps them working hard, working a couple jobs, keeps them busy, keeps the minions, what they would consider to be the minions out there, keeps them to be good little obedient soldiers, and they don't have time to think about all the things that are going on in the world. We can just placate them with little sound bites and platitudes. One of the things that they were talking about at the DNC at the end was the whole, it's electric. This is electric. I'm pulling this from Lefty's Losing It from Sky News Australia. Rita Panai, whatever her name is. Panai. I don't know how to pronounce her name. I apologize. I have deep respect for her. I think she's a very talented person, but I just don't know how to pronounce her name. I think it's Panai. And that's the Australian pronunciation. I don't know. She definitely has a very thick Australian accent. So I just want to play this little clip, because this is just a montage of the electricity. And when they all use words like this, it's buzzwords. This is like weird. When somebody comes out, he's just weird. This is something that you never hear them say. You never hear Kamala Harris say weird. And all of a sudden she comes out and they just kind of throw it in this weird, awkward moment. It is weird. It's a very strange, awkward moment. We're in just the middle of this little speech that she's given. They're just weird. You know, she just throws it in there. And then all of a sudden, everybody on the left is saying it. It shows up on posters. It shows up on all. They're weird. Yeah. They're weird. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Let's play this. This is another one of those words that they probably. What do they focus grouped it or whatever they have to do? They run it past their little focus groups and see if they like it. Let's see what they have to say here.
Though someone had plugged in a cable, a current was connected, and there was pure electricity in the room.
Thank you for sharing with us some of the electricity.
The energy is incredibly electric.
You know, it was just electric.
As sort of electric as I've ever seen it. It was absolutely electric.
Talk to me about the atmosphere in here. Is it electric?
Excitement, babe. It is electric.
Senator Schumer wasn't lying when he was saying that there's a lot of electricity and excitement right now.
So it's incredibly electric.
It's electric. Something just got uncorked.
Room in Chicago, quite electric tonight.
Last night was electric.
It'll be electric.
Electrifying.
The electrification.
There's electricity in this room.
That is.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, it doesn't show up in the polls. Now, I've always said there's always a delay in the polls. Everybody's saying, oh, there's been no bump in the polls this week for Kamala. Well, typically, polls lag behind. They always do. Every time there's an event. Now with the attempted assassination polls, it was very quick because it was such shocking news. Everybody heard about it all at once. Everybody was tuned into it. Of course, within hours, you had the leftists trying to pan it off as it wasn't an assassination attempt. It was just, he just heard loud sounds, heard loud noises, and he fell down. And he wasn't really shot with a bullet. He was just hit with a piece of glass. Of course, the fact that it was shrapnel from a bullet, I don't know what the difference there is. If he would have gotten shot at and never even touched, he still got shot at. The fact that it was within an inch of literally killing him or disabling him permanently, it makes it even more dramatic, yes. And I know they're trying to reduce the drama there. Here's what I find most disgusting. Well, I've talked, aside from the abortion thing, there was a very ingenious meme put out. Incident with truck at DNC. Leaves, I think it was 25 people dead. Somebody put out this headline on a meme. This was a couple nights ago. I'm sure there were probably more. The abortion truck that they had there giving free abortions, celebrating them. This is the god of Moloch. Right there on their doorstep, right there on the curb, right outside, that they are celebrating. I won't get into this again. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole because I go from outright rage to just melting my heart to just unable to function. So I'm not going to go there. But during all these rah-rah speeches that where there was no policy, it was all Donald Trump bad, we're good, but Donald Trump's bad. Even Joe Biden's speech was so ridiculous. Continuing to say, find people on both sides. My God, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? White supremacists and white nationalists, white racists and white supremacists. And yet Snopes and all the other left wings now have said, in fact, there were some people at CNN who even came out and said, you know what, there was a lot of lies there. Oh, not as many as Donald Trump, because everything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth is always a lie. But, you know, still, Joe didn't say it. I think that there are some broadcasters, some anchor people and some news reporters at CNN and MSNBC, I think that have actually started to kind of worry about this whole thing that they're putting on this charade, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I call it a charade because it's French. I don't know. Charade. They're putting on this fake AstroTurf thing that they're wrapping themselves in. And I think that the problem is some of these broadcasters realize they're living, they're not living in reality. And this is, they remember 2016. They remember when they just thought there was no way that Hillary Clinton was going to lose. They had it in the bag. What could possibly go wrong? And they wake up and, hello, you were wrong. And of course, I think they overcompensated in 2020. Made themselves out to look a little bit strange, a little bit odd. Let's not go there. Let's just say, oh yeah, it's an election. It's done. It's over. We got it. Don't look at it anymore. Nothing to see here. Move on. Let's not talk about the numbers because the numbers are ridiculous. There's one thing that they never mentioned during any of these fluffy speeches, which I found to be very telling of the amount of class these people have. There was not one single word, not one mention of an incident that just happened a few weeks ago that was very, very critical in our nation. Not one mention of it. The attempted assassination of a former president and a person who's running for president. No one mentioned that during the entire political rah-rah pep rally that they were having. Walz, the vice presidential candidate, if you want to call him that, he's just appointed as a VP. You realize the VP doesn't actually run. This is where they really screwed up, in my opinion, on this whole thing where they just put Kamala in there. I think it was another big mistake. There are people who are upset about that. There's people on both sides of the political spectrum don't like the fact that she was just put in. They don't like it. Some of them don't like it because they know that they don't like the fact that people don't like her. They know that she's not that popular, and they don't like the fact that the process could be that might disenfranchise voters or discourage voters. The other problem was that they never mentioned any. There was something else they never mentioned during the entire pep rally they were having. Nobody ever talked about what was in my cup. I have vanilla chai with, I found another bottle of Almond Joy Creamer. So I have another couple weeks here with the Almond Joy Creamer. I've got my backup cup. The backup cup is always what's the mystery there? It's always a mystery. The backup cup this morning is actually something I've done before. Of course, coming into the fall, it tends to be a little more predominant, but I have apple cider. That is some good stuff right there. Yeah. Cleanses the old palate. Makes you pucker a little bit. But I found it very disgusting that no one paid any attention to or gave any kind of moment of there was no somber respect for that fact at all. Not at all. See, there was a lot of rah-rah talk about, oh, we, you know, we, whatever. This whole thing about when we fight, we win. When did that start happening? When did they start saying, when we fight, we win? When did they start saying that? Right after the debate, if you remember, right after the debate, the very first thing that Jill Biden said when Joe was standing there like a Muppet, Jill Biden said, we know that Donald Trump lies. He lies. Of course, they had that all. They had the audience all primed for that. So all he did was, you know, all Donald Trump did was lie. That was the soundbite that he needed. So that's been their thing. Donald Trump lies. That was going to be. They already had that planned before the before the debate. That was going to be their tagline after the debate. Donald Trump lies. All he does is lie. So then we have this. We have that. And then we have this whole thing, when we fight, we win, didn't happen. Until after the assassination attempt, and Donald Trump stood up and said, fight, fight, fight. They tried to co-opt that into their own thing, just like they tried to co-opt no tax on tips, which is the exact opposite of what Kamala Harris tried to do with legislation that she signed, that she voted for. She was the deciding vote because it tied in the House, tied in the Senate. And she actually cast the deciding vote on this thing about taxing businesses. In other words, if you have a business and you're a restaurant, or businesses that have gratuities included in their services, which are mainly restaurants, that's the bulk of those are restaurants, where the servers count on tips for most of their income. So the service industry, or hospitality workers, if you want to call them that, that's apparently a new thing, they actually wanted to charge the businesses. Yes, let's say you have a meal that costs you $20, or that you charge $20 for. They were basically going to tax the businesses. Now, this does two things. When you impose a tax on the business and say, okay, we're going to tax you 20% on top of that, because you for income, as an income thing, so all that goes on to withholdings and all that stuff. It gets kind of complicated, but it's basically, if you charge $20 for a meal, we're going to take $4, we're going to tax you for four more dollars as income, at 20%. So that $4 now has to be paid. You have to pay taxes on that $4. Of course, you get 100 customers in a day. That's $400. 100 customers, hopefully get more than that. But it's some little breakfast nook somewhere, charge whatever. $400 in tip. Now you got to pay your federal, state and federal on that, withholdings and all that stuff on that, which is actually more for the restaurant owner. So what ends up happening here is that the restaurant owner now demands from the servers that all taxes must be collected for them. In some restaurants, and it kind of depends on the restaurant itself. Some of them, they pool their tips. In other words, if you give a $5 tip, what typically will happen is that tip then goes to the server, as well as the busboy, or the person busing the tables. Some of it goes to the cook. So there's just different things, different places where they have those tips get spread out. So say they get $1,000 in tips over lunchtime, that $1,000 is spread out through all the servers, so they all spread it equally. So one of them could be really bad and still, end up with same tips everybody else gets, because, that's socialism. It's actually communism. So then we have, or Marxism, whatever. So we have that, and then the busboys who don't, they're the ones who usually typically handle the funds, because they go back to clean up the table and they find the tips all over the place. So. And of course, sometimes I'm sure there's some busboys out there that don't, they're not always honest with those tips. Somebody leaves a $20 tip and they put down a $5 and take the $20. That stuff happens. Don't get me wrong. Don't kid yourself. I guarantee you they won't be working there very long. You don't take off a server at a restaurant and expect to have much of a good career there for very long. However, This whole thing with the tax thing, what that does is it makes the restaurateur say, well, no, we have to collect those, because then you're going to have to have wages taken out of that. So we can't just give you the whole thing and we're going to pay it on top of that. Because we're getting taxed for your income. And then she's going to say no tax on tips. So what the restaurant then pays the employee in taxes or in tips after they take the tax, because they're going to take the tax out of the table before you even see it at the register. That's what's going to happen there. So it's a phony. It's just so deceptive on the, Trump's plan is just you just keep your tip. You don't have to report it at all. You can pick it up off the table and it's yours. For cleaning. And I frankly, this whole thing of hotel servers, I'm sorry, hotel cleaning people, I've never understood the tipping there. And frankly, there's been places where I've stayed for weeks at a time. And if I do tip them, it seems like the service gets worse. I don't know what happens there. That's an issue where you're not specifically waiting on me and what I want. You're cleaning the room. Now, if you're carrying my bags, if you're doing something where, you know, the concierge is doing something, I tip anybody who, if you touch my bag, you're going to get a tip. Unless I don't want you to touch me, unless you're, you know, walking off with my bag, that's a whole other story. You're gonna get a whole different kind of tip in that case. But if van drivers, if I'm going back and forth to the airport and a van driver picks up my bags, puts them on the van, and then unloads them on the other end, you're getting a tip for that. If I have to load my own van, my own bags, and unload my, if I have to do all that, you don't touch my bags. I don't touch my wallet. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. You just want to drive the van. That's what you get paid for. The hotel does not pay you to carry my bags around. I do that. You're doing that for me. You're serving me at that point. It's not your job. You're going above and beyond at that point. Anyway, I found it very, I don't know that I've heard any other announcer say anything about this. The fact that they did not even mention the attempted assassination of a former president and current nominee, presumptive nominee, I guess at that time he was. Definitely became the nominee after that. Folks, there are Don Lemon from CNN has now tried to rebuild his brand because he realizes he's not really. So when he was on CNN, he was a big shot. Him and Chris Cuomo, they were all big shots there. They were getting paid to carry the water for the DNC, and they were doing their thing, and they were little leftist loonies, and they'd get on their little talk boxes, and they thought they had this huge, they were prime time, and they thought that they were the big shots over there at CNN. And they left there, and they found out. I guess I'm not so popular after all. Chris Cuomo now has come out, and he actually takes ivermectin now. He has become, he's getting interviewed and asked on to all kinds of, in fact, this is the one, he's the one guy that PBD, Patrick Pat David, Valuetainment. Guy's very smart, has a lot of money. He's made a lot of good choices, a lot of good decisions. But he also has made some very bad decisions, and one of them is he has Chris Cuomo on his show quite often. He's got a panel, and I appreciate the fact that he's got a panel that's made up of a lot of different individuals, a lot of different viewpoints. But some of them, this is like having Juan, what's his name, on the Five. They finally had to get rid of him. You just, at some point, you're just pathetically just continue to lather on the talking points for the DNC. You're just a puppet that you can close your eyes and ignore reality and just, and now is it Jessica Harlov or whatever the gal's name is that's on there? I can't even talk like her. She's, well, you know, you got to do this. You got to do this. She's pathetic. Greg Gutfeld chews her out almost every night now because she just continues to, they say this, just the ridiculous things. Constantly defending the left, constantly attacking things. It's just the whole talking points, all the lies from the left are just ooze out of them. So, I need some chai here. Sorry, I gotta take another sip. It's the old synapses and the boutons going up in the brain. I have the most telling thing, I think, throughout the entire DNC convention, however, was the issue of not having any substance to anything. And the lingering question in the back of my mind, and I think this is something that even some CNN reporters were trying to bring up to some of the other panel members, is if Kamala is talking, who's Kamala running against right now? Who is she running against? It's not Donald Trump. She's running against herself. She's running against her own administration. When she talks about inflation and all the problems we're having right now, she's in charge. Costs are too high, and this is too high, and bread is 50% more than it was. This Donald Trump has a brilliant, brilliant ad route right now. She talks about meat prices being 50% higher, gas prices being higher, bread being 50% more than it was. She gets done saying all those things, and then all you hear is, I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message. He had a mic drop moment the other day. I was hoping to get the audio for this, but I didn't get it pulled up. He's up in Michigan, and he's having this little meeting with some kind of group up there. And this one reporter said, you know, why are you having a meeting with white supremacists and racists and all this stuff? And it went on and on and on about all this stuff. He goes, excuse me, who was the last person who was here from politics in politics? Who was the last person who was here? She said, Joe Biden. No, all he said was, thank you very much. And he walks off. Just dropped the mic and walked off. Pretty telling. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Yeah. So the whole thing, I think And interestingly enough, there has been no bump in the polls during this time. Now, normally during the convention, normally there is. Now, Joe Biden had like a 17% increase in 2020 after the convention. Kamala has not seen that. There's not been any real bump. Now, they're talking about, oh, she's up in the polls. It's the national poll. It's not just the swing. The problem is the swing states. Donald Trump is still leading. And at this stage in the game, typically, normally, they like to show, and here's the reason for this. This everybody always wonders, well, why is it that the polls always tighten up when it gets closer to November? And why is it that, you know, Hillary Clinton was ahead, way ahead, 8 to 10%, I think, nationally, over Trump in 2016. Joe Biden was way over after the convention, he was up like 17% after the polls, or after the convention, and then it tightened up right near late October. The polls always tighten up. Here's the reason for that, and people don't understand. I've never heard much about this in pollsters, but the reason they do this and the reason they finagle these numbers is because they have to make it look like this person is worth, you know, we gotta keep fighting. And when they say when we fight, we win, what they really mean there is, they, you know, we need more money. we need more money to fight this because, you know, we've got to combat this with our, you know, we need more funding. It's all about money. So, you know, give to our campaign. That's what they're really saying. So when they do this and they say something about, the reason Kamala pulled, I'm surprised Kamala pulled this off. Now I know that she did a good job of, okay, we got to get out there and we got to make this look good. We got to make it look like I am up in the polls. We got to make it look like I'm popular. We got to get out and do these speeches. The campaign's got to go well. We got to draw some crowds. So their way of drawing crowds, and see, Donald Trump just shows up and there's crowds. He can fill a stadium, you know, 30,000 people, no problem. The problem with Kamala is she has to have a concert in order to do that. She has to have somebody coming and twerking around and doing their thing, and then people, usually half the people, leave by the time they come in. Now, she went to an event, just her doing a speech. I think they had about 280 people show up. It was ridiculous. My dog is trying to dig a hole to the ground there. But so this is the kind of thing we run into. And then we wonder, they wrap themselves in this astroturf to make it look like, oh, look at all the popularity. That way, when they come up with all these votes. In fact, New York, by the way, state of New York now just went ahead and bulldozed their way into, how do they word it? They're using the absentee ballot, mail-in ballot program now. It's going to be universal mail-in ballots. In other words, everybody's going to get a mail-in ballot. Now, here's the problem with this problem. And this is the same thing that happened during, basically, New York's gone now. State of New York is always going to be blue. It'll never go back. There was a chance that Donald Trump could have won New York, and he still might. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how this goes, but they just legislatively, because what they did is they put this up to a vote. I think it was 70% of the people voted against having mandatory or just having universal mail-in balloting. And since that didn't work, they couldn't pass it through a people vote, because, you know, democracy. They couldn't pass it that way. So the legislature just came in and said, well, you know, actually, really, there's nothing that says that we can't do this in the Constitution. It says there's nothing says we can't do this. Just make universal absentee balloting. Just mail everybody a ballot. Of course, now you know what happens. This is what happened during COVID. Certain homes, especially if they're perceived to be blue or independents, they might get three or four ballots for one person. Well, how interesting. Does anybody ever check that stuff when it goes through the counter? And here's the problem I have with early voting and absentee ballot, the mail-in ballot thing. Who's in charge of those things? Who's scanning them in? Who's making sure that they're actually getting counted? Now, they claim that you can go in and you can check your ballot and you can see that it's on there and it's being counted. Again, this comes back to, I think it was Putin that said this, or maybe he was quoting someone when he said it. Might have been Stalin that even said this. I don't know. It's not the votes that count. It's not the people who vote that count. It's the people who count the votes. When you have nefarious activities going on with those kinds of things, you know, what is the chain of custody that we have for these ballots that are coming in? Because there were all kinds of shenanigans going on during 2020. And don't tell me there weren't, because there were 10 million more votes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Am I an election denier? No, we had an election. I'm not denying we had an election. What I'm denying is that it was legitimate. Because there was so much going on. And in most of the swing states, if you look at the actual number of votes that actually swung the election, we're only talking about 45,000 votes. That's just a few boxes of paper. That chicken fits in the trunk of a car. Electorally, right now, in all the swing states, my understanding is that depending on the polls you're looking at, the illegitimate ones that are, and of course, the internal polling is even different. Where Donald Trump is tearing it up, in my opinion, he's really tearing it up, is, and it's really going to show, I think, in the voting box and the actual, you know, the actual people who are actually going to go out and vote. Where he's really killing it is in these interviews, the podcast interviews, and I think he had a Theo Vaughn is a comedian. He's typically on, sometimes he's on Joe Rogan. He's on a couple other places as well. Has his own podcast. He's been around for a while. Been through a lot in his life. Guy's been through a lot. Still struggles with recovery and that kind of thing. But he had Donald Trump on his podcast. And they had a really good conversation about addiction and what happened to, see, Donald Trump had a brother named Fred. He died, I think, because of alcohol, some kind of addiction problems, and really made an impact on Donald Trump. That's why he doesn't drink. Donald Trump doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs. And they had a really, really just candid conversation, and very, you know, Donald Trump came across very warm and caring and inquisitive, and just, you know, asking him about what his experience is. And I think he comes across as a very real person. He's not a monster. And I think that the way that the left portrays him and just continues to say this stuff about him, it makes them, and now they're starting to make themselves look ridiculous. I think there are some people who are noticing this. Now, there's some that just go along with it and just drink the Kool-Aid, slam it down, and say, you know, he's a monster, he's terrible, he should be eliminated, he should never be the president. He shouldn't even exist because he's a Hitler. This is rhetoric that came directly from the top of the Democrat Party. Who does he think he is? Well, he's a guy who got shot in the ear, and he's still alive, and he's still standing, and he's still running. A couple of things that were said, especially Michelle Obama, when she talks about some people just take too much, and they do too much, and they have all this generational wealth. She talked about all the things she talks about are things she actually does. The Obamas are worth over $70 million. How does that happen when you have a salary of... Their salary is like $400,000. The president's salary, what is it, $1 million a year? Whatever it is, whatever it is. And they, it's probably not even that. I don't even know what it is. But let's look it up. What is the presidential salary? Salary. Misspelled it. There you go. There you go. No wonder I can't. Of the president of the United States. All right, there it is. Let's see what it is. Should pop right up here. $400,000. The current salary is $400,000 a year, plus benefits, which is ridiculous. How do you turn that around? I want to know how you take that amount of money per year in 4 years or 8 years. See, in 8 years, you're going to have, what is that going to be? It's going to be 33.2 million. Is that right? 2.4 million. Whatever it is. You take that. Well, let's just add it up here. You know, Kapolsky has to pay taxes on that. $3.2 million. After taxes, it's probably like $2 million because, you know, I'm sure he pays his fair share. How do you take that amount of money? I want to know because it's right in my bracket there. I want to know how you take that in 4 years turn that into $70 million. Because that's just, I need to know how to do that. And of course, for those of you who make $40,000 a year, well, let's just, what did I do? I think I accidentally I deleted something there. Oh, okay. Why didn't that, where'd it go? It disappeared on me. Where's it at? See it. Oh, there it is. It's way over there. Why how'd you get over there? It's supposed to be over here. All right. We have, I can't make the calculator any bigger for some reason. So we have $40,000. How does that work? Of course, in 8 years, it's going to be $320,000. You'd be able to turn that into, $7 million? That'd be nice to know in 4 years. Hi, you can do that. Donald Trump was worth less after he left office. He still isn't worth as much as he was when he started office. And this is just, these are not on his statistics, but on, of course, now with this whole Truth Social thing and everything that's happened there, he's worth a couple more billion, I think. But that's on paper. That's not, he didn't go out and buy a bunch more lakefront properties. But this is the kind of stuff that she says that kind of thing. And she, oh, yeah, my parents grew up. She talked about all her parents grew up and how they didn't have anything. Now, talking about her, by the way, generational wealth, I think is it Tasha, whatever her name is, one of their fake kids. I don't believe those are their kids. I really don't. I think we've been duped in a big way. We'll find out someday. It'll all be exposed. But regardless, the issue is that one of them, the oldest one, I believe, is worth $10 million now. That's generational wealth. She didn't make that money on her own. You know, book deals, all this stuff. They never went out and actually had a business where they like employed people. They were never the key man in any business that was there, key person. I've had employees. I've had a vision where I built a business from myself to the point where I had 8 employees. Not a huge company. But I had employees, not workers that somebody else paid, not that were paid by some other entity like the federal government. Not servants in my home kind of employees. Business workers, people who worked and did and helped with the business, with the vision. We used to hire somebody to clean our house. That's not an employee. You're not an employer at that point. It's a hired hand kind of, it's different. It's just, even a hired hand is more of an employee than if like on a farm, that kind of thing. The cleaning lady isn't that. It's a service. You're just hiring a service to come in. These people have never done that. At least the big, you know, the big folks like Zuckerberg and whatever his name is, the Facebook guy and the Amazon guy and all these people, you know, Elon Musk, these people, they've gone out and actually done something, actually built something, hired people, taken a risk with their funds. I had another small business, manufacturing business. Only had a couple employees at that time. Pretty much did everything myself because I was kind of tired of having the employee thing happening. Tried to avoid that as much as possible because of the ridiculous way you get taxed and all the liabilities there. And I did that as well. And I took a risk. I took everything out. I took my 401k that I had saved up from a previous employer. This was back in 2005. took it all and invested it all. I put it all on the line. And then 2008 economy hit. Plus, I had some issues with the suppliers. Those two things just hit me in between the eyes. That's just the way it is. You take your chance and you try it. And I had the choice of either trying to continue to go on or just shut it down. And the obvious choice was to shut it down because I was just killing myself to try to make something work that was just getting worse. Now, the idea is still viable. At some point, I may find someone to pick up that vision and I'll just fund it. Because I'm not going to do it again. I'm not doing that again. I might work on the prototype and be involved in the whole thing, the process, but I'm not going to be the guy out there at the boat shows and trying to sell this thing and try to do whatever, trade shows and all that stuff. Ain't going to happen. I love prototyping, though. I still love tinkering and inventing things, finding a better way. I love the idea of finding a niche market that needs to be, somehow serve the community, starting a business and doing that, providing, whatever. So there you go. That's all I got to say about that. We're approaching the end of the week. Like I said, it is the end of the week. And tomorrow, of course, we go into the weekend here. With the DNC winding down, I do not see the momentum continuing. However, I do. I don't think that they're going to ask Joe to leave office between now and November. However, between now and October. I'm sorry. However, I do think that this is going to happen now that Kamala is officially the nominee. I guess they made it official now. They've crowned her, the new Messiah, and so she will be the. She apparently has the approval of the overlords. I do believe that they're going to try to ramp things up in October, probably the first part of October. I think they need to really time it, properly. It could be the end of September, but I'm guessing at this point that at some point Joe is going to step down. They may make the move really quickly here. It's either going to be within the first week after the convention. To really get things ramped up, or Joe will step down, Kamala will be the president. Because I believe that Donald Trump is going to be the 48th president. I don't think he's going to be the 47th. Now, I could be very wrong. I could be very extremely wrong on this. Bizarre things could happen. The other thing that could happen is that Joe Biden steps down after the election. Kamala is put in as the president because they want to have the first female black president to be Democrat. It's a big deal for them. The identity of this whole thing is everything. For some reason, that makes a difference in all of our foreign policy and the way other nations look at us and everything else. It's like this big deal. We have to have this trophy of some kind. Because we have, then what's next? We have to have the first trans president. We have to have the first whatever. We have to have the first donkey or something. I don't know what else there is what you have to put in there. First dolphin. I don't know. Who knows? Person that identifies as a fluffy or whatever. Weird, crazy, wacky stuff. We'll see. In the meantime, we're not even talking about what's going on right now with South America or anything else that's happening around the world, what China's doing. All the other things that are happening with the war, with Iran, Israel, of course, other than, River to the Sea, Palestine Be Free, whatever, like all this stuff. Free, Free Palestine, all this stuff. Which, again, I think was a lot of AstroTurf as well. There's a lot of paid political hacks that are doing their thing. What happened to my music here? Oh, that's why. That's why it's not coming through. Well, there it is. It's my cue to tell me that I'm supposed to stop. Folks, Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend. Have a restful time over this weekend. hopefully for all of you. Continue to pray for our nation. Pray for those who are so deceived in the Democrat Party. Pray that people's eyes, the nation of our heart, the eyes of our hearts in this nation will be opened to the truth on both sides of the aisle, that we'll have a complete and full understanding of what liberty is, what the founders intended, what their goal was to help us to be free, a free people, as individuals, because they care about every individual. God bless. Have a great weekend. I will talk to you Monday morning, if at all possible. Take care.